Today's shiur is Masechta Nazir Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Beis, Amud Aleph, the top line. Amamar. We learned, we quoted the Mishnah, Masechta and the Gom, Vekum Shagulcha Shalai Betar. We learned in the Mishnah that we've been learning for the last number of shiurim, that there are three individuals who have to have their hair shaven with a razor. A Nazir, a Mitzayra, and a Levium. Says the Mishnah, if they did not have their hair cut with a razor, or Shishairus Tesaurus, or they had it cut but they didn't, they left over two hairs, the Aloch is, Layosav Laiklum, what they have done is meaningless. So I saw many times in Shas, the Gemara uses the words Layosav Klum, and sometimes the Gemara uses the words Layosav Laiklum. What's the difference between these two statements? So I saw a very nice pshat. Sometimes, lo'yasa klum represents that the person has done something inappropriate, but it's not the end of the world. Example I was thinking of. Let's say somebody read Kriya Shema before it's the Zman Kriya Shema. So he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah Kriya Shema, but it's rectifiable. He'll read Kriya Shema when the Zman comes. In our case, it's not just that lo'yasa klum, it's much worse than doing that. Because as we've been learning in the last number of shiurim, the person who shaves with a razor actually is over lo'yasa. We're not allowed to shave with a razor. Just as we've been learning, esa doicha lo'yasa allows him to use a razor. But when may he use a razor? If he uses it in the proper fashion. Here, he's leaving over here. So he cut most of the hair with the razor, but not all of the hair. So the aveira of using a razor he has. The mitzvah that supersedes that, he doesn't have, because he didn't fulfill the mitzvah properly, he left over two hairs. I then also saw a very interesting machlokes achronim. Our Mishnah, the Gemara we've been discussing, says, if he leaves over two hairs, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah. If you left over only one hair, that's fine. What would be the halacha? Somebody shaved, and he left over one hair. Should he cut that last hair or not? Says the Migdash Tavit that he shouldn't. Why shouldn't he cut that last hair? He says, that hair isn't essential, because he's Mekayim the Mitzvah without that hair. Shaving with a razor, we just said, is an Aveira. So he has no right to shave that last hair. Most Achroinim disagree with him, and they say that since the mitzvah is to cut all the hair, even though he's left in a situation that he only has one hair, certainly he should cut it also. Says the Gemara, Amar of Achab Reid Ravika, Zosomeris, the parasha of Nazir teaches us, Ruba Kekula Midaraisa, that usually we say that if you have most of an item, it's like consider that you have the entire item. Why? Memai. Midagol rechmona gaba nazir. The Torah by nazir goes out of the way to say, b'yoyim hashvi yigalcheno. The Torah used the words yigalcheno twice by the need for nazir to cut his hair if he comes tamei. That we said, and we're going to learn the Mishnah later in our Perek, that he, on the seventh day, after he goes through the purification process, he shaves the hair. So what do we see? Hachu de akid ikakula. Why does the Torah have to use the word yigalcheno twice in that pasuk? To teach us, here, ad ikakula. You have to cut all the hair. Haba alma, typically, ruba kakula. Majority is enough. Ask the Mefarshim a number of interesting questions. First of all, if we're saying that by nazir, we're learning that we don't follow the concept of ruba kakula, so why don't we say it in the rest of the Torah, that just like by Nazir we don't say Ruba Kekula, we should never say Ruba Kekula. So the Rishonim answer to that question, that by Mitzora there is also such a pasuk that we don't say Ruba Kekula. So we have now a situation of Shnei Ksuvim Abaim Kechad, that we have the same pasuk twice, that Ein Melamdim, that only here we don't say Ruba Kekula, by Nazir and Mitzora, everywhere else we say Ruba Kekula. But then the question goes the other way. Of course we say Ruba Kekula. There's a din that says, Acher Rabim Lahatos. that whenever we always follow the majority. So isn't Ruba Kekulai saying that same concept? So the Binyan Sin to that question answers. The Binyan Sin to that question answers that when we follow a majority in a Besdin, let's say we have a Besdin of 23 individuals, 15 say innocent, 8 say guilty. So we have a clash. So Achi Rab Mlahata says we follow the majority. Here we don't have any clash. We have Rav. What would be the din by Nozer? That if you cut most of the hair, it would be good enough. There's nobody clashing. Achi Rab Mlahata only tells us in a situation when we have a dispute, so to speak. Other Mefarshim, the Meretz Chayis, answers the question this way. Ruba Kekulai teaches us, Achi Rab Mlahatos rather, teaches us that the minority who said something should be considered as if they said something else. Again, our example, the Besdin. 15 said innocent, 8 said guilty. Achi Rab Mlahatos says that we view as if the 8 said innocent also. Ruba Kekulai doesn't say that we're changing what they said. Ruba Kekulai means that we absorb them into the rive. That even the hairs that weren't cut would to be considered as if they were cut. It's a different concept altogether. But then the Mefarshim ask, if we are following the concept of Ruba Kekulai, so then we should apply it all across Halacha. And why, asked the Mefarshim, let's say Pesach. We have to eat a Kazayis Matzah. So why don't we say Ruba Kekulai? And if you ate a rive of a Kazayis, it should be enough. Ruba Kekulai. So the Chassam Sofer answers this question. He says, since we know throughout Shas, the Gemara says many times, Shurim Aha Aloch L'Mashi M'Sinai, the Aloch L'Mashi M'Sinai was said that you have to eat a Kazayis, not the majority of a Kazayis. And therefore, says the Chassam Sofer, that's not an option. Rav Chaim Brisker gives a more lomdish answer. He says, where can we apply the concept of Ruba Kekulai? Well, we have an item. We have, again, using our Gemara as the example. We have the hair on the Nazir's head. If we were to apply the concept of Ruba Kekulai tells us that if we cut most of the hair, it's good enough. Because you have a mess called your hair. But to take most of a Kazayis, the Torah tells you to take a Kazayis. Most of Kazayis is not what the Torah told you. And therefore, Ruba Kekulai would not work. The only question that I had an understanding, Reb Chaim, is, fine, to take Rav of a Kazayis, L'chatchila, to do the mitzvah would not work. But what would be the halacha if you started with a Kazayis, and then you ate Rav of the Kazayis? If we follow Reb Chaim's lomdus, it should be good, but that's not the halacha. The halacha is you have to eat the whole Kazayis. Maskula, Rav Yosef Rei Chanina, Haibin Nozer Tomik Sif. This pasuk that says the word Yigalchena twice, from which we're learning that we don't apply the concept of Ruba Kekulai by Nozer, as we said, by a Nozer who became Tomei. How would we know that by a Nozer who became Tor, we don't apply the concept of Ruba Kekulai? Says the Gemara, Machkolob Merova. And at Yisrael, they had a difficulty understanding this question. Michti, Nozer Tomei, the Matar Menolan. How do we at all know that a Nozer Tomei has to cut his hair? Menozer Tor Yalef. That whole concept that a Nozer Tor, Tomei has to cut his hair, we learn from a Nozer Tor. So Lacy Nozer Tor, Valeilef Menozer Tomei. So just like we learn that a Nozer Tomei has to have a haircut from a Nozer Tor, we go the other way around, we learn a Nozer Tor from a Nozer Tomei. Ma Tomei, Kishtayesh Saras V'loi Klum Ovid. If he leaves two hairs, it's not acceptable. He has to cut all of hair. Hachinami, Kishayesh Tesaras V'loi Klum Ovid. If he doesn't cut all of his hair, it's unacceptable. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that Nozer Tor and Nozer Tomei and Nozer Tor's halachas travel together. From a Nozer Tor, we learn that a Nozer Tomei requires a haircut. And from a Nozer Tomei, we learn that the haircut has to cut all of the hair. Says the Miches Chinuch. We're going to Mitzvah learned, and we've already encountered this concept, that the halacha is that a daglachas loy ma'akev. There are opinions that hold that by Nozer Tor, if he didn't take the haircut, it's not essential. If now we're learning that a Nazir Torah and Nazir Tomei have the same din, so too will be the din by a Nazir Tomei, that the Taglachas Loi Ma'akev, the Taglachas is not essential. Here we just learned the concept of Rubik Kekuloi. The Mefarshim say, Rashi says, regarding Kairach, that Kairach was a Chacham. He was a smart person, and therefore Rashi asks, Ma ro'o l'shtosu? How do you make this terrible error? We know the story of Kairach. So how does Rashi know Kairach was a smart man? So Mefarshim answer, because what did Kairach say? Kairach said, Ki kol eda kulam kadoshim. Why do you use the word kol twice? Kol ha'eda kulam. Because he knew if he's going to say just kol ha'eda kadoshim, it would be Rubik Kekulai. But he wanted to make sure that they understood everybody, without exception, is a kadosh. So he said, kol ha'eda kulam. He used the word kol twice. Like Al Gemara says, if you use the word twice, there's no room to apply the concept of Rubik Kekula. That's why Kairach was a smart person. And the Mefarshim go on to explain. This is pshat in the tefillah that we daven in Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah we say, Meloich akol la'olam kulay b'chvodecha. So the question is, isn't that a redundancy? Meloich akol la'olam kulay. So the Mefarshim say, because if we just said Meloich akol la'olam, we would say that we're for us it's satisfactory that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should be the melech on the Rav Ha'olam. But that isn't satisfactory. So we say Meloich ha'olam kulay, the entire world, not just Rav of the world, but the entire world. Continues the Gemara. Boy abai, Nazir shegilat v'shayish teisaris. As we just learned, if you cut your hair, but you leave over two hairs, it's not considered you did a proper hair cutting. Tzamach roishoy, and now he left himself in that situation, and his hair started growing back, v'choz v'gil chamal. And now he's going to cut these two hairs that he didn't cut originally. Mima akfioloi. So Tosfos explains the Gemara's question in the following manner. The person, let's use the following example. The person has 100 hairs on his head. He cut 98. Then he left two. So those two that he left, because he left two, as we began today's shiur, it invalidates his haircut. Then he lets his hair grow. Rishonim say he lets it grow for at least a week, because 7 days, that's the amount of time it takes for the hair to grow back to a decent amount. And now he wants to cut. So if he cuts, so now Abai's question is, does he only need to cut those two hairs that he didn't cut originally? So now at the end of the day, he cut all 100 hairs. First he cut 98, and now he cut the final two. Or do we say, no, now he has to cut all 98. All 100, because the 98 that he didn't cut at the beginning grew back. And therefore he has to cut all 100. So we learned the Gemara's question without thinking about it, says the Karen Ira. So what would we tell the person? Cut all 100. What do you have any problem? Says the Karen Ira, it's not that simple. Because if he already has fulfilled the requirement of cutting the hair with the cutting of those first 98 hairs, we go back to what we discussed at the beginning of this year. Cutting the hair is cutting with a razor. You're not allowed to use a razor. So if he cuts it now with a razor, and he's not supposed to cut, he's doing an aveira. He's only allowed to use a razor when he must, when there's a mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, there's an aveira. So according to Tosfos' explanation, since the Gemara doesn't know what he should do, he's stuck. He'll never be able to conclude his naziris properly. The Shita doesn't take such an extreme approach as Tosfos. The Shita says, certainly, if this individual will wait 30 days, they'll have a full head of hair, and then cut all his hair, that'll be fine. The question the Gemara is, does he have to wait, according to the Shita, for all 30 days or not? Now the Gemara asks a different question. By Rava, Nazir Shigileich, a Nazir took the haircut, same situation, Vinich Shteisaris, he had 100 hairs, cut 98, left two. Vigileich Achas V'Nasher Achas Mahu. But now, when he comes to cut these final two hairs, one is left and one falls out. One he cuts and one falls out. Amalei Rav Achmed Difta L'Ravina. Gilech Sarah Kamibayle L'Rava. What's the question? If he left two hairs Nobody requires him that he should cut both hairs together. So if he cut one hair and the other one fell out, everything's fine. Elaima, said the Gemara, the way to understand Rav Ishail is as follows. Nashrach Sugil Achas Mahu. He cut 98 hairs. He's left with the two. And now, before he comes to cut these final two hairs, one falls out. So what's he left with? One hair. And the Gemara's question is cutting one hair considered an act of shaving? Perhaps cutting less than two hairs is not considered a legitimate act of shaving. But ask Mefarshim, if he's only left with one hair, we go back to the beginning of the shiur. If you only have left one hair, everything is fine. So what's the Gemara's, what's Rabbi Shaila? So Mefarshim say, beautiful pshat. The Rishonim say this. They say as follows. If the person cut 98 hairs and left two, that act of shaving is an invalid act. It's meaningless because you have to cut all your hair. Now you can't go and say, you know what, I only have one hair left, and retroactively resurrect that and say that what was not a valid act of shaving should be a valid act of shaving. Once it was an invalid act, it remains that way. And the Gemara's question, therefore, is there anything we could do for this individual? El Eima, Nosher Achas, V'gilach Achas Mahu. If one, he cut 98, left two, and before he has an opportunity to cut those two hairs, one falls out. Amalei, Giluach Enkan, Sar Enkan. He has no opportunity here. He only has one hair. The original act of cutting wasn't good, and now he only has one hair left, which can't validate an act of cutting. Says the Gemara, Sar Enkan, Giluach Enkan. If you're saying he doesn't have enough hair, what's your problem? Says the Gemara, come. Abishasar Enkan, even though he's only left with one hair, not two hairs, but mitzvah skiluach enkan, he has not properly fulfilled the act of cutting, and therefore the Gemara says, according to Rava, he's going to have to wait till at least one hair grows back, and we have to avoid a bayi shayla, and then cut off both those hairs. Says the Gemara, Nazir, chayfef umispasbeis, a Nazir could shampoo his hair. Mispasbeis means that he could put his fingers through his hair. Avloi sarik. He can't comb his hair with a comb. Says the Gemara, Chayfa for Vespasis Mani. Who's the man Domed and Nazir could shampoo his hair or put his hands through his hair? Reb Shimoni, who holds Davashenim Skav Mutter, who holds that even if a Nazir will end up having his hair, some hair come out when he shampoos it, or having some hair fall out when he just puts his hands through it, since he wasn't mechavin, since he didn't intend to remove hair, even if some hair will come out, it won't be an issue. Avloi sarik. But then the same our Mishnah at the same time taught us that he may not use a comb. Whose opinion is that? Aslo Rabbanan. It follows the opinion of Rav Yehuda that says a davishen miskave mutter, and therefore if you comb your hair, and here will come out, it'll be Aser. So ask the Gemara, how do we understand the Mishnah? Reish Reb Shimon, the Reish represents the opinion of Reb Shimon, the Seif represents the opinion of Rabbanan. So the Gemara, Amar Rabba Kula Reb Shimon. The entire Mishnah represents the opinion of Reb Shimon. However, Kol Asarik L'Hasan Nimim Medudol Miskaven. If somebody uses a comb, it's not a Dov Shem Miskaven. It certainly pulls out here. And therefore, Reb Shimon will agree that it's Aser for Nazar to comb his hair. It's interesting to note, the Rishonim point this out already, and then the Rivash picks up on this. Al Gemara says that Kol HaSoyrik, so whoever uses a comb, Lahoser Niman Medudol Miskaven, intends to pull out hair. So Mefarshim should say we have a very similar Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara uses a different terminology. The Gemara says it's a psik reisha. If you're going to use a comb, hair is going to fall out. So they say, why does Al Gemara not use that same lumdus, a psik reisha? What is Al Gemara saying? That no, if you're using a comb, you're intending to pull out hair. Why doesn't Gemara just say it's a psik reisha? So I saw that the Rivash and other Mefarshim asked this question, and they answered in the following manner. If the entire issue in our Mishnah were just a psik reisha, it's a psik reisha de lo nichalei. We have a nazir. He doesn't want to pull out his hair. The halach is that even Rav Shimon, who agrees that a psik reisha is aser, will hold that a psik reisha, the loy nichalei, is mutter. So that's why we can't use the concept of Pesuk Reisha. That's one teretz. Another teretz, if you go back to Daf Lamed Tes, on Daf Lamed Tes, Rav Yonasan taught us that the only time a Nazir is Oiva Medaraisa, cutting his hair, is if he uses a razor. Here the person is just using a comb. It's not a razor. So the Isser is only an Isser the Rabbanan. Even if Rav Shimon holds a Pesuk Reisha, it's Osir, he only holds a Pesuk Reisha, it's Osir by an Isser the Raisa, not by an Isser the Rabbanan. And this is only an Isser the Rabbanan, so the Gemara didn't want to use the concept of Pesuk Reisha. A third approach, similar, is that this is a Malach Shenet Tzrich Lagufa. Rav Shimon holds that a Malach Shenet Tzrich Lagufa is only Osir with Rabbanan. So again, we'll have a Pesuk Reisha with Rabbanan, which is not Osir. So that's what the Gemara says. It's not just a Pesuk Reisha, but he really intends to pull out here, and that's why it's Osir. And this is the basis of the Gemara. Mr. Brewer discusses this at great length, that one has to be very careful about using a comb on Shabbos. Because our Gemara says that when you use a comb, it's considered that you're intending to pull out here, which is certainly Osir on Shabbos. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says, either you should, if you want to fix your hair, you should use your hand, or if you're going to use a brush, you should use a brush with very soft bristles that won't pull out the hair. There's an interesting shaila in the Paiskim. Our Gemara is saying that a Nazir is not allowed to use a comb. We know that in Halacha, there are other individuals who may not take a haircut. An Ovel Rachman Otzlan is not allowed to take a haircut. During the 9 days, none of us take haircuts. So the question is an Ovel allowed to use a comb? Are we allowed to use a comb during the 9 days? If our Gemara says that combing certainly involves pulling out hair. So it's Machloikis HaChroinim, and the Doglam of Ovel, the Noid Behuda, is Mekel, and the Mishnah Berura quotes the opinion of the Doglam of Ovel, Laloch Lamaisen, he says during the 9 days, one can use a comb, and so too may an Ovel use a comb. Says the Mishnah further, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Lo Yochet Min Adama, he should not use earth as a shampoo, Neshe Masheris as a sar. It causes the hair to fall out. The Gemara will explain this. There's a Machloikis Rishonim. Is Rabbi Shmuel arguing on the Tanakhama or not? Is Rabbi Shmuel just qualifying what the Tanakhama said? That the Tanakhama said you're allowed to shampoo, that a Nazir is allowed to shampoo his hair. Comes Rabbi Shmuel says he's allowed to shampoo his hair, but not with earth? Or is Rabbi Shmuel arguing with the Tanakhama? That the Tanakhama holds unequivocally you may shampoo your hair? And Rabbi Shmuel says, not with earth. Now ask the Gemara, we need to understand Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Ibailu, is Pshat Rabbi Shmuel, Neshim Asheris as a Santanan? Does Rabbi Shmuel mean to say that earth causes the hair to fall out? Or does it mean that some earth causes the hair to fall out? Says the Ramayim Afkamina, what are we trying to ask? Says the Gemara, Kigoyin Ikad Doma Deloy Masra. What happens if we'll have earth that's being used as a shampoo, but this earth doesn't cause the hair to fall out? Iamrit Mimnei Shumashiras Tanan. It will say that the reason is because earth causes the hair to fall out. Hechad Deyadidin Deloy Masra. If we'll know that we have this earth shampoo that doesn't cause the hair to fall out, Shaper, he'll be allowed to use it. Early Amrit Mnei Masharis, that since there are certain earth shampoos that cause the hair to fall out, therefore if Shmuel says that no earth should be used, klal klal loy, even the earth that doesn't cause the hair to shape to fall out. What's the halacha? Says the Gemara Teiku. Says the Mishnah. If a Nazir is drinking wine all day long, ain't a chayav ala achas. He doesn't spemaze it. He only gets one set of malchus. And as the Rishonim help us understand the Mishnah, first the Rishonim tell us that the halacha is that one doesn't get malchus for doing an avera unless he has asra. How does asra, what are the technicalities of an asra? If I see somebody about to do an avera, I tell him, if you do this avera, you're doing an avera which comes with this einish, with this punishment, and the person says, afal bikein, I don't care, and then he does the avera, he gets the punishment. So our Mishnah says that if somebody received only one hasra, one warning that he's doing an Aveira, and then he continues doing the Aveira all day long, he only gets one set of Malkus. Machloikus Rishonim, why? The Rivan explains, because Hasra, to be considered a valid Hasra, it has to be given Toich Kedei Dibur, of the act. Right before the person does the Aveira, I have to give him the Hasra. So if a Nazir is about to drink wine 9 o'clock in the morning, I give him a Hasra right before, so it's Toich Kedei Dibur, he can get the Einish. But if then he continues drinking all day, it's after Toich Kedei Dibur of the Hasra, and therefore, he doesn't get the Einish, because it's not Toich Kedei Dibur of the Hasra. That's the Rivan's approach to understanding the Mishnah. Taisus' approach is a different approach. He says, since there was only one Hasra, and then the person drank all day long, all of those drinks that he took are considered one long act of drinking. And there's one long act, is one Aveira, and he gets therefore only one set of Malkus. And therefore, says the Mishnah, however, Amaloi al Tishta, if before every act of drinking, he received a separate Hasra, Vishaisa, Chayva Kolachas Vachas. Because each Hasra separates each act, according to Taisus, according to the Rivan, he can't say that he didn't have Toich Kedei Dibur. Dritva makes a very interesting observation. Dritva says, we just said a moment ago, what is Hasra? That I have to tell the person he's doing an Aveira, and what the consequences of his act is. Says Dritva, let's say I gave a person a Nazir, Hasra in the morning, that if you're going to drink, you're going to get Malkus. And then, in the course of the day, I give him Hasra, the case of the Mishnah, but there, I don't go through the whole speech. All I tell him is, you're doing an Aveira, I don't have to say the whole thing. And I don't have to have him respond, affably Cain. Since the first Hasra was a full-fledged Hasra, the subsequent Hasras don't have to have all of the details. Then the Mefarshim ask a question. The halacha throughout Shas is that Hasra Sofik Lo Shema Hasra. Hasra only can be when I know the person's about to do the Aveira. If I'm not sure he's going to do the Aveira, it's not considered Hasra. We've been learning that every Nazir could have his Naziris annulled. He could go to a Chochem and have his Naziris annulled. So therefore, how could a Hasra to a Nazir ever be considered Hasra? There's a suffix that he may have his Naziris annulled. So some of Rishonim answer that our Mishnah is going according to the Mandomer, that Hasra suffix is considered Hasra. Others say that since most Nazirim don't have their Naziris annulled, we could rely that that's not considered Hasra suffix. Others along the same line of reasoning explain that since a Nazir has a Chazakah, that he is a Nazir, we follow the Chazakah. But the Ramban says a different answer. The Ramban explains, a person can't annul his own Naziris. He only could go to someone else he only has to go to a Chacham to have his Naziris annulled. When is something considered Hasra Safik? It's considered Hasra Safik if it's in my power to undo it. Here it's not in the Nazir's power to undo it. He has to go to a Chacham, and that's why it's not considered Hasra Safik. Similarly, if a Nazir was taking haircuts all day long, he only gets one set of Malkus. But he was warned before every hair that he cut. Similarly, the Nazir is becoming tummy all day long. He's only chayiv once. But he's being warned before each act. Then the halacha is chayiv akol achas v'achas. So the Rishonim ask, why does the Mishnah have to teach us the same din three times? By drinking, and by tumah, and by taglachas. So the Rishonim answer, Taisus answers, the Shita answers, like this. If I would only have the halacha by wine, I would say the reason a person could get multiple malchus, a nazir could get multiple malchus, is as we have learned, and we're going to learn a Mishnah later in our parak, that just because a nazir drinks wine, it doesn't cause him to forfeit his naziris. So therefore, I can understand that every drinking of wine could bring its own malchus. However, a haircut does cause him to forfeit his naziris. But by a haircut, it only causes him to forfeit 30 days. Let's say a person takes a haircut, another takes a haircut, he loses 30 days, even if his term is very long. Tuma, so therefore I would maybe say, it does get a separate malchus or not. Tuma not only causes him to forfeit the naziris, but it causes him to forfeit the entire naziris. That's why the halacha is, and we say this example many times, that if a nazir accepts upon himself a 100-day naziris, and on day 99 he becomes tameh, he has to start from scratch. Therefore, I would say that if he becomes tameh more than once, he's very tameh. Why should he get malchus? That's what the Mishnah teaches us to stand by every one of the cases. That's one approach of the Rishonim. Another approach in the Rishonim answering this question, why does the Mishnah have to teach us to stand three times, is as follows. Drinking wine, one can understand that every cup of wine you drink is a separate act. Haircut, people don't look, when you take a haircut, every hair is considered a separate act. So I would say it's all one long haircut. It teaches us the Mishnah that every hair you cut is considered a separate act. But it's still understandable that we can conceivably understand that every hair on my head is a separate hair. But tumah, once the person is tumah, he's tumah. What's the point of the second tumah? And in fact, in a moment we're going to learn the Gemara uses this lomdus. Therefore, we would say that by tumah, once he's tumah, and he shouldn't get a separate malchus for the second act of tumah. Teaches us the Mishnah that even by tumah, he gets another set of malchus for every act of becoming tumah. Says the Gemara, Itma, Amar Rav Hana, Amar Rava, Amar Rav Huna, Mikra Molei Dibra Kosef. The pasuk tells us regarding a nazir, lo yitamei. We know that a person can contract tumah from a mace in two ways. One is what's known as mago masa, touching a mace, carrying a mace, direct contact. And the other way is by being in the oil hamace, entering the same house, the same roofed area that a mace is in. Says Rava, mikra molei dibra kosef, lo yitama. The pasuk tells us explicitly that a nazir may not become tamei. Keshu oimer lo yavai. But then the Torah also says that he shouldn't koyimei yizirai lo yavai. The all of the days he may not enter a house where there's a mace. Las hir ala tuma, las hir ala biya. And what Rav is teaching us in the name of Rav Huna, what Rav Huna is teaching us is that if a nazir became tamei, becoming in contact with a mace, and then he enters in the oil hamace, says Rav Huna, he's going to get two sets of malchus. Avol tumah v'tumah. If a nazir comes in contact with a mace, and then he comes in contact again with a mace, he'll only get one set of malchus. Rav Yoyis Omer, Halakim, I swear in the name of Rav Huna, afilu tumah v'tumah. Even if nazir became tumah, and then he becomes tumah again, he gets two sets of malchus. Dama Rav Huna, what's Rav Huna's proof? Nazir shayu oimid beis ha-kfaris. If a nazir was standing in a beis ha-kfaris, v'shitaloi meis, and while he's standing in the cemetery, and he's tamei, another, they gave him a meis to carry, or meis, v'shitaloi meis, sorry, or meis ach v'nagaboy chayiv. Even though he's already holding a meis, and he gets another meis, he's chayiv v'til tumas. Amai, and the question is, why is he chayiv? He's already tamei anyway. Elav shmami no, that like Rav Yosef wants to say, that a fill of tumah v'tumah, a nazir is tamei, and becomes tamei again, is chayiv tumalkas. Shmami no, Amar Rav Huna, from here we see that Rav Huna holds, that a fill of tumah v'tumah is chayiv. Eisvei Abaya, asks Abaya, it says in a braisa that if a koyin, there's another gear, so if it's a nazir, a little sharper, that has a mace on his shoulder, so he's already tamei because the mace is holding him, should he be chayiv malchus again for the new tuma tamaloymer, when is a nazir chayiv? Somebody who hasn't desecrated his naziris. Yotzu, shemechul of oimid. He's already tamei, and therefore he doesn't get a second malchus. So here, we see that he doesn't get a second act of malchus. Amalei, so yeah, that's what the Brisa says. But our Mishnah clearly contradicts this. Because our Mishnah says that if a person was metamed to mesim all day, and a chayv alachas, he's mechayv only one, instead of malchus. However, our Mishnah just taught us, if he receives separate warnings, talochus chayv alachas v'achas, he gets separate. But you just said, hametamed v'kam. So now we have a stira. One place it says that if the nazir is already tamei, the braisa says that if the nazir is already tamei, and then he becomes tamei again, he doesn't get malchus. Our Mishnah says that if he's tamei, and then he becomes tamei again, he does get malchus. How do we reconcile these two, the Mishnah with the braisa? So tomorrow, el kasha hadodi, we have a stira between the Mishnah and the braisa. Says tomorrow, lo kasha. And we're going to explain the Gemara like Tosfos explained the Gemara. The halach is as follows. If someone is touching a mace, someone is mamish touching a mace, and I touch that person obviously becomes tamei for 7 days. If I touch the person while he's touching the mace, I'm tamei for 7 days. Let's say somebody touched the mace. And then, after he touched the mace, he's no longer... So he becomes tamei for 7 days. Obvious. Then he's not touching the mace anymore. And I touch him. How long am I tamei for? 1 day. So now the Gemara explains. You know when, says the Gemara, a person could be chayiv for tuma twice? Is when he upgrades his tumah. What does that mean? In the case of our Mishnah, the person first became tameh. How did he become tameh? The nazir touched the mace. Now he's not touching the mace. Now he's touching the mace. Since that's an upgrade in tumah, why is it an upgrade in tumah? Because while he's not touching the mace, he only can transmit tumah that's a day long. However, while he's touching a mace, he can transmit tumah that's 7 days long. So he upgrades his tumah, so he's chayiv for every tumah. The case of the braisa, and those are the words of the braisa, if we pay attention, he's already touching a mace. So he's already, so to speak, maxed out in his tumah. Now he touches another mace, he's maxed out. And therefore he doesn't become tumah a second time for malchus. That's the reconciliation of the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah is referring to a case where he first touched Tumah and is not holding the mace, and then he's holding the mace, so it's an upgrade, and that's why he's chayiv twice. The Braisa is talking that both times he's holding a mace. There's no upgrade. The first time he's already at the max, and therefore he's not chayiv. Ask the Gemara, is this concept that there's a difference if he's touching or not? A concept of the Raisa, the Tumah b'Chiburim, the Raisa says the Mahamar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Abyanai, Lo Yomer Tumah b'Chiburim. When do we say that Tumah b'Chiburim is considered a Tumah? Ela Truma l'Kachim. That somebody becomes Tumah b'Chiburim may not eat Truma, may not eat Kachim. Avla Nazir v'Yisa Pesach Loi, but a Nazir is not considered Tumah that way. That means if a Nazir touched a person who touched the mace, he doesn't become Tumah that it forfeits his Naziris. And if somebody became Tamei, he still could bring his Karan Pesach. Vi Amr Daraisa, but it was saying that this is a concept of Daraisa Maishna, and it says, Gemara, Kam b'chibur Adam ba'adam, Kam b'chibur Adam b'meis. And the explanation of the Gemara's answer is as follows. If one person is touching a mace, and I touch that person, the fact that I become a full-fledged Tamei for 7 days is a Daraisa. However, there's the following nafkamina. Let's say Reuven is touching Shimon. And Shimon is touching Levi, who's touching a mace. What is Reuven's status? Midaraisa, Reuven is not tamei for 7 days. And therefore, Reuven, if he were a Nazir, it would not cause him to forfeit his Naziris. And if it was Erev Pesach, Reuven should bring a Karban Pesach. Why? Because by causing him to forfeit his Naziris, he also has to bring Kabbonis. If he's not mechuyv to bring the Kabbonis, it's Chulin Bazara. By telling him not to bring the Karman Pesach, he's chayiv in Issa Karis. Somebody who doesn't bring the Karban Pesach when he's supposed to, is chayiv Karis. And this person is not Tamei Midaraisa. Truma B'Kachim, there's no consequence that the wrong thing is happening. There's no Chulim Bazara. There's no Chayiv B'Karis. If I tell the person don't eat Truma, if I tell this Kain don't eat Truma B'Kachim, and therefore the Rabbanu will geyser. But if I touch a person who's touching a mace, who's holding a mace, there everybody agrees that that's a deraisa digatoma. It's interesting to note that we begin now learning the sugyas that a nazir may never become tamei, besides tamei smitzvah, like a kohen gadol. So the mefarshim ask, why is a nazir different than a regular kohen? We know we're going to discuss this in the coming shiurim, that a kohen, regular kohen, a kohen hedyot, can become tamei to the seven close relatives. Why is a nazir different? So I saw two answers. One answer is that a nazir doesn't represent something that he got from his relatives. It's something that it's man-made. So this person, what is a nazir doing? He's distancing himself from his relatives. He's accepting upon himself a kedusha, irrespective of his relatives. Therefore, if one of his relatives, Rechman Tzlan, passes away, he can't become tamei. A kohen is just the opposite. How did a kohen become a kohen? Because he was born to a kohen. So by a kohen, there's nothing more important than yichus. His whole kahuna is dependent on yichus. And therefore he has to respect yichus, and he has to respect relatives, and if they pass away, he should be matam himself. That's one pshat. Another pshat is a simpler pshat, perhaps. A nazir represents a man-made kedusha. A kohen represents a kedusha that the kohen gets min shemayim. He's born a kohen. A kedusha that's min shemayim is a much stronger kedusha than a kedusha that's man-made. So the kedusha that the kohen gets min shemayim won't be defiled if he becomes tamei to a close relative. The kedusha of a nazir is a weaker kedusha. It's a man-made kedusha, and it's much more delicate, and therefore he has to be very careful not to defile it by becoming tamei to a relative.